A 32-year-old man was allegedly held against his will for more than 20 years. And now his stepmother is facing charges for it, denying any of the claims that this was a captive situation. Now, this case out of Waterbury, it has become national news, understandably so. Just looking at the details coming out of the preliminary investigation are stuff of nightmares. Joining us now, Waterbury Police Chief Fernando Spagnolo, and welcome to the show, Chief Spagnolo. We appreciate your time. Recently, as recent as this week, the Waterbury Police Department actually released photos from inside the home when there was that first response in February after the fire. What can you tell us about the scene of the crime?
Hey, Melissa, thanks for having me on. This is such a unique case. It really cuts to the core. Providing the information and releasing the documents required under the FOIA Act, I think is really important so the public can understand where this case is going. The images depict a lot of what the first responders saw, and in some cases corroborate the stories and the information that were being provided to the investigators about this particular case.
It looks like in the photos that I'm looking at right now, Chief, they match a lot of the things you had been describing to the media when the news first broke about this case, in particular, the locks on the outside of the bedroom door where the victim was allegedly being held for more than 20 years. Bring us to the scene. What can you tell listeners? Describe for us what you and responding officers saw that is very troubling.
Well, I think you hit the point exactly. The locks on the exterior of the door, the evolution of the locks that were there, the fortification of that particular door was all extremely troubling and corroborated a lot of information that was being received right from the onset of this particular case. Obviously the house had some significant smoke and fire damage because of the fire that was set in the room where the victim was held captive for two decades.
You know, I was talking, Chief, before our conversation with one of my law enforcement experts who comes on the show pretty frequently, and some of the things that we agreed sort of stood out to us when we looked at the photos is that, yes, the fire, destroyed, obviously, the area that is in question, whether or not this man was being held against his will, but it didn't destroy really the rest of the home. And what I saw was sort of clutter, chaos a little bit, and it could lead people to wonder, well, if this is the reflection of the home, could it be the reflection of how people were treated in that home? And again, I'm not trying to jump to conclusions, but did you find that it was interesting that when you look at sort of the rest of the home that is, was untouched essentially by the fire, that it seemed like pure chaos. It seemed like a lot going on, a chaotic scene.
Absolutely. People have different levels of organization what their definition of cleanliness is. That certainly could indicate other things going on in life. That being said, I think that, the fire being contained to that one area, again, corroborates a lot of the information that that first responders received on where the fire was set and lends credibility to, potentially why the fire was set.
Chief Spagnolo, tell us about the victim. We know that he remains nameless to the public, completely understandably. I hope that he recovers. But what can you tell us when first responders removed him from the home initially? Tell us about the way he looked, the way he acted. What were some of your initial findings from a police standpoint?
Well, he, did suffer from, some medical conditions because of the fire, some smoke inhalation, covered in soot. But there was some significant physical conditions that really struck us. His weight, and he appeared emaciated to us. He had some significant dental hygiene issues and some other conditions that you know, really were shocking and really, and corroborated a lot of the information we were receiving at that time. You know, the victim is, in our opinion, very credible. His story is very, very pure. He's really, in a sense, untouched by modern society, and that's a little different for us when for most of the people that we speak to.
I'm curious from your professional standpoint, Chief Spagnuolo, do you believe, because of course we hear from both sides of the story on this, we spoke in depth with the attorney representing Kimberly Sullivan, the victim's stepmother, who says she was shocked by the allegations, that this is a grown man, she had nothing to do with the state he was found in. Do you believe, in your professional opinion, the victim either has a special need, an eating disorder, something that could have made him this way, or does this more align with neglect, abuse, and being held captive?
So, you know, I believe that we were called to the scene of a fire, that our investigators and police officers, the first responders, did an excellent job at not discounting information that was reported to them, that they asked the appropriate questions, that they made notifications to investigators who continued to search for information and clues. And, you know, I believe, in my professional opinion, that the information gathered, the evidence gathered at the scene, the interviews that have been conducted thus far, all developed probable cause to establish neglect and abuse of the victim, and that neglect and abuse being perpetrated by Kimberly Sullivan. You know, we've got a great justice system here in the United States, and you know, she has the right to say whatever she wants to defend herself, but I think that the facts and the evidence of this case will prove otherwise.
Chief Spagnuolo, if I can say, I've watched you do, it feels like, dozens of you know, news reports and interacting with the media, and I first want to thank you as a local journalist for making yourself so readily available. We so appreciate it. But I can hear it in your voice. I can see it on your face. It feels like, from a human standpoint, this case is shaking, I feel like, you and police to the core. Like, it's something you had never seen before. And I don't know if I'm reading you correctly, but this seems like something, like I said, stuff of nightmares, a horror film. Like, this can't really be a reality. But it seems like, in your gut, This is what is being alleged, which is somebody at the age of 11 sort of falling off the radar and being held captive by a family member for over 20 years.
Yeah, when you look at the totality of this particular case, and you know, 20 plus years of captivity, and to think that the person alleging to be responsible for it was a parental figure, is really, really disheartening. I feel for the victim, and, you know, myself and the police officers in Waterbury, and frankly, I think police officers around the country, we get into this career because we want to help people. We want to help our community. And, you know, in some senses, you know, we're looking at our policies, we're looking at operations, and, you know, it's very unfortunate that this particular incident occurred, and, you know, we weren't able to help this victim much sooner. So it does bother us. It certainly bothers us, and frankly, it should bother us. It should bother us as a society that something like this can happen, and we certainly need to look at all aspects of why, but that'll come later. I think what we need to do now is really focus on the criminal investigation and focus on adjudicating this particular case and assisting the state's attorney in doing that.
And last question for you, Chief Spagnuolo, because it was made clear to us, including by the attorney, that there were other children living in that home. There were two other daughters living in that home. Have they been questioned? Are they part of this investigation?
This is a very active and ongoing investigation. We're receiving information daily about you know, other components that may or may not help us continue this investigation. There were other people that were in the household, you know, but currently all the evidence, all the information that we have, all the facts that are contained within the arrest warrant point to one person being responsible for the neglect and abuse of the victim, and that's Kimberly Sullivan. That being said, it's a very open investigation, a very active investigation, but I can't comment or tell where the future will bring us with the information we receive.
Chief Spagnuolo, I want to thank you for the work that you and your department are doing on this case, and thank you so much for including us on the conversation here on WACC. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity. Have a good day.
You too.